Channel 1 over, and beginning to visit Mr. Eastman this Thursday after supper, the 22nd of August, 74. Channel 1 over, and beginning to visit Mr. Eastman this Thursday after supper, the 22nd of August, 74. Channel 1 over, beginning to visit Mr. Eastman this Thursday after supper, the 24th of August, 74.
Perfect. Man, oh man, oh man, did I get in the figures. Well, that's a pair of overalls that got bigger last clear up above my knees. And they're just as thick as they can stand on there.
Yeah.
You know, I got them laid out flat. I was going after them with a knife, you know, and just take and scrape them right off. See, that's the way I've done. I got in them once before, like
yeah.
that. And take and scrape them right
yeah.
off in there. Jesus. I'll bet you that when I get them scraped off, there'll be enough to fill that.
Oh,
you don't mean that much.
Why, you never see anything like them. Geez, they are thick down there, just as thick as they be, clear above my knees. Well, them damn bigger lights down in there, you know, you see they haven't cut the grass down there in a couple of months, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And them damn bigger lights, some of them are up that high.
Oh, I know, they get thick.
Hey, oh, geez, they're just black with them... seeds on
yeah.
there, you know.
Yeah. Well, whereabouts was that?
Huh?
Whereabouts?
Well, you know, the picket fence comes across the front of the house
yeah.
and then down the side.
Yeah.
Well, down there where the picket fence ends, oh, I'd say about 25 feet down there was a gate.
Oh, where you drive in?
Had a wooden gate down there,
yeah.
yeah. Well, I took that wooden gate out of there and put one of them nice metal gates in there, see? Put
yeah.
a couple of them nice fancy white posts there with the top on them.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh.
Got it all fixed up down there.
Vested up.
Yeah. You see, they're dressing up that place over across the road, so... God, we had to dress up Lois a little bit there.
Oh, they put a picket fence around there.
Yeah. Now Lois is going to take that old fence all down and put up a new fence there with that, you know what that 2x4 wire is? The
yeah.
mesh in it is 2 inches one way and 4 inches the other.
Yeah.
It's 2 inches this way and 4 inches up and down.
Oh, heavy wire.
Yeah, going to put that around down there.
That's that heavy wire. Well, that's going to cost you a little bit.
Yeah.
She's not going to put that up in place of the picket fence.
No.
I see.
No. You're going to start the end of the picket fence.
I see.
And see, she owns that chunk down below there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then goes out that other way there.
I see. Well,
And that other, the fellow that lives next door, she's going to buy the fence to go clear over on him, between him and her. She's going to buy the fence and he's going to put it up.
Oh. Well, that's fair. Well, she's... I used to think she made a living teaching music.
Yeah, but Jesus, I wished I had her bank account.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I think she must have a little bit more.
Oh, Jesus. Why, her father run that store down there, you know, and he and somebody else started a damn bank up in Gainesville. Or, yeah, one of them banks up there.
Well, they did.
Well, yes, and she and her sister there owns a half interest in that damn bank.
Oh, you mean it's still going?
They still own a half interest in that bank.
Ooh!
So I am told.
Who told you?
Lois didn't tell me, but I was told down there in McIntosh.
Good Lord. Here she owns a bank, Mr. Eastman.
Well, Jesus, and they say that every time there's any big bank doings going on up there, she has to get up there. Now, that's what they tell me down there in McIntosh.
Yeah. Well? She and poor Hattie Neal, she ought to...
Oh, Jesus, poor Hattie. I don't think that poor Hattie is as damn hard up as she claims she is.
Oh,
Mr. Eastman, I used to be down there, and they claimed that she just had $5 between her and the poorhouse or something like
that. Yeah.
Just didn't have anything to work on.
Yeah. Well, Jesus, you know, here years back, hell, her father owned half of McIntosh.
Hattie Neal's?
Huh?
Hattie Neal's?
Yes. Her father owned a hell of a lot of property down there. And they say that that's a Christian, you know, Bill Wynn's father-in-law there.
Yeah.
They say that he finagled around there, different deals, and got a lot of it away from her.
Well, her neighbor, you know, finagled that fence.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw that fence after you told me about it. It's a good sturdy fence in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought she was pretty proud of that neighbor.
Said what?
I thought she was proud of having that neighbor, but
well,
I don't know.
I thought she was, too. She always talked to him about him as if he was something, Mr. Eastman.
Well, that other fellow that lived there before this last guy, he was a pretty good fellow, that Cockrell. This Dewberry, or whatever his name is there, he's...
Oh, is he the one that put the fence in?
Dewberry.
Oh, I thought it was Cockrell.
No, Dewberry is the one that put the fence.
Well, what happened to Cockrell?
Well, Cockrell sold out to Dewberry. Dewberry goes and has it surveyed. Well, the two surveyors, the one that Cockrell had and the one that Dewberry had, they varied that 15 or 20 feet there.
Yeah. So?
And if I had been in Hattie Neal's shoes, but Jesus, they wouldn't have put it over on me like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She's not got good sense, Miss Eastman.
Huh?
She can't take up for herself.
No.
All she can do is go over and tell Miss Lois about it.
Yeah.
Faith?
Mm-hmm.
Johnny Palmer called him.
Oh, he did.
Johnny Palmer was in the store down there tonight.
No.
Yes, sir.
No. We just saw him last night.
Jesus,
I
went
bed.
Down there to the store to get some eggs and some bacon. And by Jesus, all at once, John appeared.
Walking?
Yeah, his sister brought him over. And he was walking in the store. And all at once, I was paying for my stuff. And all at once, by Jesus, he disappeared. And where the devil he went to, I don't know, whether his sister whisked him out of there to take him home or what. But he disappeared. Because, Jesus, everybody was running there, you know, and shaking hands with him and telling him how good they was to see him and all this and that. I think his sister got him right out of there.
Why, I can't believe it. We saw him last night, flat at his back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he told Arthur that he set up an hour at a time.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't say anything when we was over there about that.
Well, he come in there and he had the pajamas on and a bathrobe over the top of it, and that's all he had on. A pair of sandals on his feet.
He said the doctor told him he had to stay 2 more weeks flat of his back.
Everybody did that he was over there. And he told me, he says, I'm coming over here to work inside of a month. Well, I said, John, by Jesus, you take care of yourself if it takes 3 months before you get over here.
You tell him that?
Well, he lay there last night.
Now, then, you'd laugh to see them colored ones in there. Oh, Mr. Palmer, Mr. Palmer, Mr. Palmer. Jesus.
They were glad to see him.
Oh, God, yes.
Well, you see, he lets them have anything on credit.
Yeah.
I told you what he told me one time.
What did he tell you?
I told him it looked to me like a man had to sort of be on cash basis. There's so much out he couldn't collect. Why, Mr. Palmer said if he went on a cash basis, he wouldn't sell anything.
Yeah.
Eastman, he was the cutest thing I ever saw last night. We sat there at his bed, and he'd pat my hand, and I'd pat him, and he told us about how this thing happened. And he just laughed.
Yeah.
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 Why, if he hadn't taken UCO, or whatever name is home, he wouldn't have been here.
Yeah.
He said he put him in that room, and he paid $100 a day just to look at him.
Yeah.
They had their nurses there.
Yeah,
all the, they were there 24 hours.
Yeah, well, he was in the intensive care, see?
No, he was more than that.
Yeah, in a room where there's only 4 beds.
Yeah.
And there's a 2 nurses to a bed. And they thought he wasn't going to make it.
Yeah. Yeah, they took him out of there and put him into intensive care.
Yeah.
All that.
He just laughed.
But you see, I called up down there to Heritage Flowers to have them send some flowers over to him.
Yeah.
And Jesus, they couldn't take them into him because he was in the intensive care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just as soon as he got out of intensive care, well, they took him the flowers, see? Well, his sister told me, she said that was better than a dose of medicine.
Yeah.
It cheered him up to think that I thought enough of him to send him them flowers.
Why, of course.
And the next Sunday, Yuko was down there to see him, and he says, Yuko, look at what Artie Boy sent me. Yeah.
Artie Boy.
Yeah, he always calls me Artie Boy.
Yeah.
Look at what Artie Boy sent me.
Why, he was lying up there last night on his back, you know, and the room was dark. He'd been asleep. And,
yes, sir.
And I just tell us about that.
I wish you could have heard that. He told about everything from the time it hit him.
Yeah.
They were closing.
Yeah.
And the thing hit him, and he got over there and sat down. And he couldn't sit down. He couldn't move, he said. And, you know, he went on and told all about it. And then the most extraordinary thing, Mr. Eastman, it had hit him twice. And then that crazy fella hadn't come to get
his wife.
His wife, so he took her home.
And that's what saved him, cause her aunt.
That's what Mr. Palmer's sister said.
Yeah.
And he got over there and he couldn't get out or anything, and she went in there and got her sister or aunt or somebody who was a nurse. So she gave him that nitroglycerin or whatever it takes. And Mr. Palmer said, the fella drove him to the hospital. He says he drove him. He was on one side of the road, on the other. He says sometime he's going 20 miles an hour and he'd be up to 45 miles an hour.
And then he'd get to 80, he was drunk, you know. And when he got into the hospital, they said, they took one look at me and didn't even ask me my name. They just started putting those wires on me.
That's right.
We just sat there and
it's worth a trip over there, Mr. Eastman, just to hear that story.
Well, I was figuring on going over there tomorrow night, see?
Yeah.
to see him. Well, Jesus, I got down there in the store, and God, here he come in.
Well, you go over there. Well,
he'll still be there. You need to go and see him.
Well, you go over there. Let him tell you about it. It's red.
He's supposed to be in that bed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He sure is.
He's like me when I had the heart attack, you know, they didn't think I was going to live 3 days. Well, the third day, I got up and put my clothes on. And Jesus, a rap come to the door, and I didn't know who it was, you know, and I got up and opened the door, and Jesus, I was with the doctor. He said, what are you doing here with your clothes on? Well, I said, Doc, I made up my mind if I was going to die, I was going to die with my shoes on. Well, he said, a fella can't do as I tell him to. I'm not going to doctor him, he said, and he turned right around and went.
You had to find somebody else.
Jesus, yes, I had a hell of a time finding somebody that would help me. I couldn't walk, you know.
You didn't intend for the doctor to leave you.
No.
Pain?
I couldn't walk.
Give us all a piece.
Okay.
That'll make that stuff flow better.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I couldn't walk a city block if they paid me for it. Don't get me nothing to eat.
Well, she's going to give you a little piece of that pudding.
No, I got, I had more than I could eat tonight down there for supper. That's
all
the reason
right.
I ain't drinking that too fast.
Yeah. They're going to close up that place in September.
They are.
Yeah. Faye found out about it. I stopped that day and got this. Well, he said they were about out of oranges anyhow. And then the sugar costs so much. All them little doodads they got in there, they can't sell them, can't make enough on them. He said those little jars of jam and one thing and another, orange marmalade and like,
yeah.
He said they used to make 70% on that.
Yeah.
And he said the price is so high now, they can't make over 30%.
Yeah.
Well, I think they ought to get along.
Well, Jesus, they can make 30% now, they're doing damn good.
Well, I should think 70 is too much.
No, sir. When I was in business up north there, I figured if I got 10%, I was making good.
Yeah. Well,
I used to sell a lot of electric stoves and refrigerators and milk coolers and all of that stuff, see?
Oh, really?
And I figured a 10% profit. I could do pretty good on it.
Yeah. When you sold it, did you install it? Well, Mr. Ethan, I want to hear once more about that lightning.
Now that lightning? Jesus, boy, that.
I can't believe that.
Huh?
I just can't believe it.
Jesus, you know, that I stood right there and was washing them dishes, see? And I had this hand in the water, and this hand, I just took a dish that I'd rinsed, see, and was putting it over in the...
Well, that's the reason this hand's puffed
up.
Yeah,
that's the reason that this hand got it.
Is it still puffed?
A little bit, see?
Yeah!
Why, Mr. Eastman.
See? And, Jesus, that flash of lightning, it went right down that roofing. See?
Two balls.
Huh? That ball of fire went right down that roofing and right out that rain spout, right down into the ground, see?
But, and you had buckets of rainwater.
Well, yeah, there were two of them wash tubs up there. Well, I went out and looked because I thought they'd be split. See, with that lightning going down there, I reckon sure it'd split them. But it didn't. Jesus, and it went right down, you know, and it hit that damn drain. See, there's an iron pipe that goes out there with that drain. And followed that drain right back up into the sink.
Right, yeah.
And when that hit me, you know, it was why, Jesus, the first that I knew, I was right back with my back against that cabinet on the other side. It throwed me right away from the sink, see, right back against that cabinet. And that's what hurt my back.
I can't, right against the cabinet.
Say, it towed him across the room.
Yeah, right across the room. That wall, it's about 6 feet, I guess.
Well, that's a good way.
Yeah. And it felt just as if that I split my pants. Well, I felt that, and geez, and they was all hauled. About a half an hour afterwards, I went in the bathroom, and by God, I'd split my underwear right up through.
Why, Mr. Eastman?
Yes, sir. Jesus, you see, when it throwed me over back there, you see, it throwed my feet out some way. And just took and split her.
Split your underwear.
Split the underwear right up through, from the crotch right up to the back.
Never heard of anything like that.
Yeah. Jesus.
Never heard of anything like that.
Well, Jesus, I got the underwear down there that I can show you.
Mm-hmm.
You split them right up there.
Oh, that's a souvenir.
Yeah.
And what did it do, give you a headache?
Yeah, oh, Jesus, my headache to beat all. And I had an idea that awful flash, you know, was going to affect my eyes, but it don't seem to make them any worse. Jesus, that was an awful bright flash, you know, that going down there like that.
Oh, I didn't know. I hadn't heard you talk, but tell about that.
Oh, Jesus, that was an awful bright flash. And that lightning went right down that.
Yeah. And all you were doing was standing in your own kitchen.
Washing the dishes.
It looked like Opal's
man, that old Dutchman that came in there today. He said, well, goddammit, you shouldn't have been washing the dishes anyway.
Well, do you think it was heading towards your hot water heater?
Huh?
Do you think the hot water heater is what drew it?
No, I think it just followed right up that drain.
Oh, I see.
And I reckon that the hot water heater was gone too, you know. But it didn't.
Didn't bother?
No.
The drain then came right up to the sink.
Yeah. It went right up to the sink instead of going up the water pipe.
Oh, I see.
See, it went up the drain, see, and instead of on the water line. If it went on the water line, it would knock that water heater out.
And you had your hand in the water, and that's what happened then.
Well, hell, Mr. Eastman, with as many possibilities, it had to hit something, didn't it?
Jesus.
Well, golly, it could have got you.
Yeah. Well, that same day, down around Orlando, someplace down there, the lightning struck right where there was a bunch of people. Yeah, and there were 10 or 12 of them that were hospitalized.
Yeah. I'm telling you, I don't care for that lightning.
Yes, I don't either.
I used to walk out, you see, when it was lightning. I used to walk out in the field and all like that. But I quit that a long time back.
They said that my grandmother used to, they come up a lightning storm, she'd get right out on the porch. Oh, that's a pretty one. And I've heard my father tell about it.
Yeah, it's like fireworks. It's beautiful up there.
It's beautiful up there, yes, but it hits pretty hard.
Well, Jesus, back in 1936, and I think a little bit later in the fall than right now, I still lived on the farm up there, but I'd rented it on shares to a fellow, and he lived up in the tenant house. And in December that year, I moved down to the village, and he moved into the main house there, so it could be right by the barn, see? The house was on the upper side of the road, and the barn was on the lower side. Well, the electric entrance, come into the barn, and then went through the barn, and up the end of the barn, and up to the house, and there was a pole set about halfway between the barn and the house, and I had a big outside light on it. And it was coming up a storm, and the fellow that was running the place said that he was going out and get the cows in the barn before it got to raining. It was just about milking time. And he'd started out after the cows, out the end of the barn, and he got right out there where the transformer was, and the lightning struck a tree right there, oh, about 50 feet from the transformer, and it jumped right onto that wire, and you know, it blew that transformer all to pieces. And you know, them pieces of porcelain come down all around him, but it didn't a darn one hit him. And I bet you that he jumped that high, you know, when that that hit the it kind of sucked him right up, see? And I had started for the barn, and I was right under them wires that goes to the barn, from the house to the barn. Well, I had on a heavy pair of rubbers, and I think that that's all that saved me that time, because it knocked me flatter than a pancake.
Oh, it did?
Yeah, Jesus, I would go and knock me flatter than a pancake.
It knocked you down, but it didn't bother him.
Yeah, it jumped him up.
Took him off the ground.
Picked him right up. Well, I see it. And he was wondering how the devil he could jump that high. Well, Jesus, he wasn't jumping. I'm telling you.
But it just knocked you on the ground.
Yeah.
Well, if you could just have your rubbers on at the right time.
I had them rubbers on, and I think that that's all that saved me.
Well, did you have your rubbers on in the kitchen?
No.
But you were on a rubber mat.
Yes, standing on a rubber mat.
Yeah.
But that wouldn't be like be standing on the ground, you know. You see, because you got your house, your wood floor, and everything under you there.
Yeah.
Evelyn thinks that they're standing on that rubber mat. Jesus, and she was in that chair, you know, that leans back, and the darn near throwed her out of the chair.
She said.
Yeah, it shook it.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Oh, God, it shook that house, you know, just like that.
Oh, it shook the house.
Oh, God, yes, it shook the whole thing.
That's what she said.
Yeah, and that shook her putting her out of the chair.
I didn't get that thing.
Yeah.
I heard her say.
Well, was she shook up?
Eh?
Was she shook up?
Well, yeah, it shook her, you know.
Made her hurt again.
It wasn't like getting hit with a lightning, you know, but at the same time, you know, you're in a chair there and somebody come along and gives you an awful shaking. Well, you know, it shakes you up inside.
Yeah, you feel it. Well, you know, that gout. It looked to me like that was just one too much. So she got enough pills to take.
Yeah.
She takes one for the blood pressure and one for her heart.
Yeah. She takes five different kinds.
One for the pressure, one for her heart.
One for fluid.
Oh, yes, the fluid.
Fluid, and then she's got one there for arthritis.
Oh, has she?
That's the fifth one there for arthritis. She don't take them all the time, but...
Well, the fifth one would be the gout.
Yeah.
And she's taking something for the gout. Well, is she getting some relief from the gout?
Yeah. Some days her feet are swelled up and some days they ain't.
Yeah.
But when they swell up with the gout there, you know, they're almost as red as that glass.
Oh, are they?
Oh.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a little bit too much.
And then you know, the gout gets in her hands, too. And that... that Johnson woman lives second place above us. They're up in Pennsylvania in the summer, but they're down here in the winter. And she gets that gout in her hands and in her wrists here, you know. Geez, and they swell right up and they be just as red as can be.
And Evelyn said they don't understand what causes that.
Now, but that gout, you know, is one of the oldest diseases that they have.
Yeah. I guess they used to think they understood it, but now they don't. Oh, Lord, don't give me any of that. I've had this bad knee, but it is nothing like the gout.
I have one knee that bothers me some. a lot of times it's caused from, well, I call it rheumatism, but they call it arthritis. But rheumatism and arthritis and bursitis and all of that is all about the same thing.
Yeah. I'm telling you, Mr. Eastman, before you forget it, you better get your paper.
But they used to call it all rheumatism, you know, but
yeah.
Late years they've subdivided that.
Yeah. A number of ways.
Yeah.
Several ways.
And Mr. Palmer says, so they can give you that expensive medicine.
Yeah.
Oh, I tell you, I don't like to think about him getting up before the doctor says, but I like to think about him feeling good enough to get up.
Yeah, wanting to get up anyhow.
Yeah. Well, I'm afraid he's going to overdo.
Well, that's what his sister worries about.
If I know that, what that is, geez, I went through it. And when you have one of them spells hit you like that, you can't move.
Is that right?
Jesus, I went right on my damn head, right in the corner in the paint pails. And Jesus, I couldn't get up. I laid there a little while, and finally I rolled over and over and over, and I got over to the cellar stairs. I was down cellar in the schoolhouse. I had that. You see, we'd put in a stoker in there and under the boiler. I had that length of 2.5-inch pipe for a return on the water line there. We had to put in a pump down there, see, and the water run back from the radiators into this tank. See, well then when the water got just so high in the tank in there, the float went up and that started this pump. And it forced the water out of that into the boiler. Because when we raised the boiler up, we didn't have fall enough for the water to run back into the boiler on its own. So we had to put that booster pump on there. And I had that piece of pipe, and I got to turn it around. Well, in order to turn it around down cellar, I didn't think about taking the damn coupling off and changing it on the other end of the pipe. I thought about turning the pipe around, see? So, I opened up the cellar window. See, it was on hinges. In the middle of the winter, I opened that up there and hooked it up. Put the pipe out there, you know, turned it around and put it back down where I wanted it. I went back over there and reached up to let them windows down. Jesus, when I put my left hand up there to push that window up there, I just went right in the corner, right, the damn paint pails and stuff, and I couldn't get up. Well, I finally crawled on my hands and knees up the stairs, and there was half a dozen men working up on the second floor there. And I hollered to them, but they didn't hear me because that electric saw was running, and I don't know, the planer was running up there and that, but they're making a lot of noise, and they didn't hear me, so I crawled out and got in the truck, and I drove down to the doctor's office, about 3 blocks, and I got in the office there, and there was half a dozen people in there waiting to see him, and I had to cough. I had had a coughing spell, see. Jesus, Doc come out and he says, "Who's coughing out here?" I didn't say nothing. Somebody said, "He is." And I looked over there and he looked at me and he said, "What are you doing here?" Oh, I said, "I come down to see you." He went back in and he come back out and he says, "Open up your mouth." And he stuck a couple of them nitroglycerine under my tongue. He went back in there, and he wasn't in there but a minute with this, I think it was a woman patient he had in there with him. And he came back out, and he says to them out there, he said, "I want to see this fellow in there right off, because he says he's had a heart attack." He'd felt him a pulse, you know, see, and he went over there and felt him a pulse, one thing another there, before he, before he gave me that nitroglycerin. And well, I went in the office there, and he said, "How'd you get down here?" I said, "With that truck out there." "Did you drive that truck down here from the school?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Is your brother up there at the school?" And I says, "Yes." And Jesus, he started right in ringing the telephone up there. See, and he got somebody on the telephone, and he told him he wanted to talk to my brother. He said, "You come on down here at the doctor's office and bring somebody down here with you. Because he says your brother's had a heart attack." Well, Jesus, them fellas come down on the run. Well, they got me and they carried me out and put me in the truck, you know. Jesus. Carried me down home. I had this big shop down there. It was 28 feet wide and 56 feet long. And we lived upstairs over the shop. Jesus, they carried me upstairs. They run upstairs and got a chair. They set me in the chair, you know, and then they carried me upstairs in the chair. Put me to bed. And about an hour after that, Doc come down there to see me. He told him, he said, "Jesus, he won't live 3 days." Third day, but Jesus, I was up and had my clothes on. But you know,
I was his audio voice tough.
I couldn't walk a city block if they'd paid me a big sum of money for it.
Is that right?
I'd take a newspaper, 4 or 5 thicknesses of it, and I'd walk as far as I could and step right over at the curb and sit down. People come along and look at me just much as to say, "Well, look at that drunken pup sitting there." I thought, I got an idea that's what they thought.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't care what they thought. Geez, when I got so that I could, I'd get up and walk a little farther. And that's the way that I got around. Well, I got feeling quite a little bit better. Oh, I guess it was along in March. And I got down in the shop. I was working down in there. I used to make a lot of a furnace pipe, you know what I mean, the smoke pipe, same as that there, and bigger pipe for furnace pipe and one thing or another. I was making that, and the snow slid off in the garage roof. I had a 3-car garage right out back of there, and it plugged the door so that you couldn't get the car out. I thought to myself, well, I'll go out there and I'll throw out 4 shovels full of snow. Then I'll come back in and rest, and after a bit I'll go back up and throw out 3 or 4 more, and after a while I'll have it so that I can get the car out. Well, I went out and I throwed out 4 shovels full, and it didn't seem to hurt me any, and I went back in the shop, and I sat down at the desk and fiddled around there for half an hour or so. I went out, and the snow was kind of hard, you know, where it slid off, you know what wet snow is there. I cut out a shovel full and I throwed it out. I cut out the second one and I showed it out. I cut out the third one and I went to throw it out. And I went right down on my head again in the snow, and geez, I couldn't get up. Well, I laid around there for a few minutes. It wasn't too cold. I finally rolled myself over to the steps. There was a platform on the back out there, and about 3 steps up the platform. I crawled up and got into the shop. I said, got into the chair up there, and I said, "By Jesus, the fellow that put that snow out there can take it out. For all of me," I said, "I never shovel any more snow." And the reason I didn't either. No, sir. But they claim that anybody that's got a bad heart shouldn't shovel any snow.
Yeah.
Because they claim that it ain't the work, but it's the breathing that cold off in the snow.
Oh.
That cold air comes off in that snow as you bring it up to you to throw it, see?
Yeah.
They claim that it's that cold and what does it. Jesus. So I know what it is to have a heart attack. Well, then finally, Jesus had run along a couple of years, you know, and God, I couldn't get around. Finally, there was an old Czechoslovakia doctor.
You mean that long?
Yeah.
You mean you were just going down the street and sit down a little bit?
Yeah.
For 2 years?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that, Mr. Eaton.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'd tried different doctors, and geez, didn't a damn one of them help me a bit. Finally, this old Czechoslovakia come into town, and he rented this house off of a woman that had had a heart attack, the same as I did, see? It was a little different, because there's so many different kinds of heart attacks, see? And she called me on the telephone one night, and she said, well, I wish that you'd come down and see Doc Feldman. Maybe he can help you. She says, he's helped me. She says, I can get right around. She says, good now. So the next day, I went down to see him. And he had got in a lot of new equipment in down there. He put in an x-ray machine and a cardiograph outfit and all of that stuff. So I told him what I was down there for, that he'd helped Mrs. Foster, and that I thought she wanted me to come down and see him. So he x-rayed me there, and then he started in on the cardiogram. Well, he had you know what them cardiograms are, that paper there, you know, they're half a mile long, and he sat down with a book. And he was checking the diagrams in the book against what it was that he was getting off in this cardiogram. And finally he said, he said, here it is, here it is. And I said, here's what? Well, he said, here's a picture here just like what yours is. And he brought the book over there and he showed me, and it was, you know, them lines go up like that, you know, and then down here and the everything. And it was just like it. And he read what it said there. He says, you know, they make a medicine in the old country, and if I can get it, I can help you. And he says, if I can't get it, he says, I don't know. Well, I said, if you think you can help me, you send and get it, because I said, I got the money to pay for that medicine. All right, he says. So, geez, it run along about 2 weeks. The telephone rung, and I answered the telephone, and he said, I got it, 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 and he kept going, you know. I said, wait a minute, who are you and what do you got? Oh, he said, this is Doc Feldman. And he says, I got that medicine, he says, and I was so happy, I don't know what I say.
Oh, isn't that nice?
He was a Czechoslovakia fellow, you know, and he talked that German brogue.
Yeah.
And so he said, you come right down. So I went right down. And, you know, I took that medicine there, and in about a week, I began to feel different. By Jesus, in 2 or 3 weeks, I could walk and get around pretty good. And I got so that I could go out and I'd shovel a little dirt or something like that, you know, and I'd get going, and I got it going and doing a little work. Well, you know, I took that medicine from about 1949, and it was in the winter, I think, of 49 and 50, right up until I had this gallbladder operation. And I went down there to take that for a gallbladder operation, and they wanted to know if I were taking any medication. And I told them yes, and told them what it was, and for my heart. And they said, well, of course, they run me a cardiogram down there, see, before they operated. They said, don't take any more of it, because it says your heart is in perfect condition. So I haven't taken any of it since.
Well, now, you, when you had that spell recently, you used that same medicine.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a little spell here a year or so ago there, and I got some of that and took it.
Yeah. But you didn't have it on hand.
No, I thought that if I didn't need any, I wouldn't have it. But when I come to need it, I come right up here at the drugstore, and they got some there in a day or so.
Did you know what to call it?
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah, it's tapeverine, and it's made from the opium poppy after the opium is taken out.
Of all things.
So it helped you twice.
Yeah.
You don't have to have a prescription? Yeah.
Well, I did in the beginning, but I bought so much of it that they didn't sell it to me without a prescription.
Gee whiz.
Well, you keep
Gee
some
whiz.
Of that on hand.
I got some down there.
So you won't have to wait a day or two to get it.
Yeah.
Now this last time you had to wait over the weekend.
Yeah.
Before you could go down there, and then you'd have to wait another day for them to get it. No, just that afternoon, wasn't it?
But I figure I'm keeping some on hand, sort of. But there's so many different kinds of heart trouble. What'll help one won't help another.
Yeah.
But that nitroglycerin, there is, that'll help most anybody.
Yeah. Just keep a little of that on hand. You know, it wouldn't be a bad idea if they just keep a little of that on hand.
Well, that's the truth.
Just in case.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we get out here in the country and drugs
got
are closed.
Anything to work with. Hey, you can sit better than I can. Now, you have to check his, you got a water tank on there.
Yeah.
And do you have some, pipe?
Yeah.
On this one?
No.
That's on the other one.
And it was just a water tank and that air hooky in there. And
the plywood and the sausage. Yeah. Yeah, I think he's got it down.
Well, he don't ever put on very much of the labor there. You have to sort of doctor that up a little.
Okay. Give me a pen. Mm.
There's that Dressler coupling that we used in the well down there, you know.
Yeah.
I never could get old John to tell me how much it was, so we just charge it to John.
Yes, I remember that.
I never could find out from John how much it was.
Well,
he didn't charge me for it, so I didn't charge you. So.
That was a pretty good size item, Mr. Eastman.
Oh, I think they cost about 4.5.
Yeah.
See? But never mind that there, as long as John don't charge me.
I don't see how he keeps up with all those things that he charges. Is he pretty good at paperwork?
Yeah.
Does he do most of it himself?
Well, yeah, but that Yuko there, boys.
She help him?
She's a lot smarter than what people give her credit for.
Oh, is she?
Oh, God, yes.
How do you figure that?
Well, I don't know what kind of an education she got over there, but she must have had a pretty good education.
makes you think so?
Well, she's good at the bookwork.
Oh, is she?
Yeah, she does all the bookwork down there.
Oh, does she? And all he does is sit there and collect it.
Yeah, well, he writes out a lot of the, the bills, you know, and then she checks them all off and keeps the books up every day.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, he's lucky to have somebody.
Yeah.
Now you take old Miss Reynolds.
Yeah.
Of course, she's not as active now as she was, but look how much she just sort of
she really takes an interest in it.
Yes. Yeah. And it treats it like it's her own, like she's her own store.
Yeah. I had to laugh, you know. She slices the bacon, see, and I had to cut the rind off, see. Well, she had a piece of rind there, see, that about that wide and about that long. And she says, you know, I got to charge you for that, says, because we have to pay for it when they buy the bacon. Thank God she wasn't going to give me anything.
Is that right? Why, she used to do all the cooking, Mr. Eastman.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me take this pen here, and then I'll mark that page over there. Yuko does quite a little of the cooking in there, too. But
yeah. You know, that boy was doing a little cooking. What's his name? Larry? No.
Ed.
No, the one that wasn't in account. Mr. Eastman. Leslie or something. I caught him cooking over there at times.
Yeah. This is August the 22nd.
The 21st, actually.
55 years ago now, I was in Syracuse, New York. The 20th, 2 days ago, my first wife and I got married.
55 years.
55 years ago, in Syracuse.
Yeah.
Yes.
We married on Bear Street in Syracuse, and the preacher's name was Lyon. I always laughed and said, "We married by a lion on Bear Street in Syracuse."
Your first wife was sickly, wasn't she?
Yeah.
All her life.
Well, she had asthma to beat off.
Yeah.
She had asthma to beat all, and her father had sugar diabetes. And they claim that the same bug causes asthma that causes sugar diabetes, and another one is eczema.
Yeah.
And they say that it'll follow right down. Now, same as my father-in-law had sugar diabetes,
yeah.
My wife had asthma, and my daughter's got the eczema.
Oh.
See? Of all things.
Well, then her kids will either have sugar diabetes or asthma.
Yeah.
That is, you know, they're apt to have it.
Well, I never knew that.
Yeah, now that's what the doctors tell me.
Yeah. So your daughter has got it too.
Yeah. She got the eczema, son.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was related.
Yeah.
Goodness. Who was it you were telling me about, Mr. Eastman? Was that your daddy? Yes. We were talking about your daddy. He died in 1924.
No, my father-in-law died in 1926.
Your father-in-law, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had sugar diabetes. And they were just coming out with insulin at that time.
Yeah. And
but he didn't take any insulin because they were just experimenting with it.
Yeah.
But there was another woman that lived, she lived about a mile from us. And she had it too. And she took the insulin treatment there, and God, she lived 15, 20 years after that.
Yeah.
But she had to take that insulin, I don't know how many times a day.
Yeah.
I think it's 3 times a day.
Yeah.
And at the time that she took the insulin, she had to have an orange right there so that she could have some orange juice within about 10 minutes after she took the insulin.
Uh-huh.
But they'd come out. My father-in-law was on a strict diet, and he was eating that gluten bread. Well, we used to have to drive about 15 miles to get the gluten bread. And he says to me one day, he said that gluten bread, after he'd had it down an hour or so, he said it felt just like stones in his stomach, and he says he can almost hear them knocking together in there. And he says to me, he says, Arthur, if you ever get sugar diabetes, you might just as well die of sugar diabetes as die of starvation.
Yeah.
He sounded like a right interesting fella.
Now, what were we saying about him, Mr. Eastman, all the things that he was doing? You know, we talked about him a lot.
Well, I don't know just what you got reference to.
What was it? He did so many things.
He was a great card player.
Oh, was he?
Oh, gee. He'd play cards there. Can't think now. He'd play most anything in the line of cards or checkers. He was quite a checker player.
Yeah.
He'd skin me, you know, fast as I could sit down.
Yeah.
I'm playing checkers.
Yeah. Oh, they had all those nice games they played then, like euchre.
Yeah.
And rummy, various sorts of them.
Seven up and
Pedro.
He used to play a lot of Pedro.
Yeah.
He'd get excited, you know, when he was had the high cards, you know, and now come down, your spotted cattle, he'd say, you know, and he'd fling them down there.
And you play after supper at night.
Huh?
You play after supper at night.
Yes, I have.
At supper.
And then, you know, in them days, they used to have neighborhood parties. There'd be 5 or 6 families, or maybe more than that. They would get together, you know, and play cards. And have popcorn and cider.
Yeah.
My father-in-law always used to put in, from 15 to 20 barrels of cider every fall.
Oh, he did. Wait a minute.
He was a great, great cider drinker.
And it seemed like he saved some of it.
For haying.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
He's my next door neighbor up there, you know. He's the last load of hay that we're going to get that day. Where he says, Freddie, he says, I'll set this load out. He says, it's getting pretty hot. He sat down under the apple tree there. God, we come back with a lot of load of hay. He was drunker than the Lord, and we laid right on his back, snoring away. The boy went up and told his mother.
Yeah.
Jesus, boy, she come down the road, Dad, taking steps 6-8 feet long. She was a great church woman. Boy, she was boiling because Jay was cockeyed.
Hey, she thought you all did it.
Yeah. She gave my father-in-law an awful lecture for getting him drunk.
Mr. Eastman is not much better than good hard cider.
Huh?
It's not much better than good hard cider.
Yeah.
Don't you like it?
Hard cider? Yeah.
Well, I like it.
Yeah. But you know, that cider, see, after it's made in the fall and you take it to the next summer, it was quite hard. you know, you could drink a glass of it, every load of hay, as long as you kept working.
Yeah.
Oh.
But if you stopped and sat down for a little while, but you didn't know you was cockeyed, don't you think you were? Yeah.
Well, did you think after you? No, you didn't think after your father-in-law, actually.
But you all worked well together, you
yeah.
and your father-in-law.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, shoot. Now that insulin might have kept him going if he'd taken it. Might
well, it probably would have kept him up there for a while.
Yeah.
That was before they had that.
Well, they were just coming out with it. See, they were experimenting with it.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
There was a young woman up there, and she graduated from high school in the same class that I did. And I don't know, she'd been married, oh, 5 or 6 years, I guess. And she came down with sugar diabetes. And you know, she took insulin from then right up until she died. And, well, she must have took insulin there for 30 years anyway.
Yeah.
Maybe 35.
It kept her going for 30 years. Think of that.
Oh, I have friends who have to take it. And
yeah.
they just as normal.
Don't think anything about it now. Mr. Eastman, where did you ever learn? You learned so darn many things about that time. You knew so many things. Where did you pick up that business about using the switch? Somebody teach you?
Well, God, I don't know. There was an old fellow, an old man. It was around town there that he used to do that, and he got me into it.
Well, how'd he do it? How'd he get you into it?
He was showing it to me just how to hold it and one thing and another there, and we'd walk around there, and when you find some water, how to pull it down. And
yeah.
It would pull for me just the same as it did for him.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that it won't pull for.
If I'd been going along there and holding it, it might not have pulled.
Yeah. But they say that there's a certain amount of electricity in your body.
Yeah.
That makes that work. And if you haven't got that electricity in your body, then it won't work for you.
Yeah. Well, you know, some people got so much electricity in the body, the watch won't run.
Yeah. My geez, you know, my watch quit today. I was working up there at Lois Dixon's, and it quit. So I didn't know just what time it was, and I went home about 11:30.
Oh, yeah, I thought you'd finished eating pretty early.
Yeah.
I got on there about 10 minutes after 12 or something like that, and they finished eating, sitting back.
I went home about 11:30 because I didn't know what time it was.
Well, but and then if anybody, how would they know to come and get you, Miss Eastman?
Yeah, there were three of them there after me today down at Lois Dixon.
I mean up there when you learned to use the switch.
Oh. Well, you know, news of anything like that travels fast.
Oh, does it? Yeah.
Especially when people are in need of finding water.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, now, you saved a lot of them right smart money.
Yeah. Up there on the Stockbridge West Hill, you know, there was five farmers right along the road up there. And every one of them there, they were down 300 feet, and some of them more than that.
Yeah.
See, and had to use a deep well pump. and had this old farm up on the corner. And they thought it wasn't worth much, you know, because there wasn't no water on it,
yeah,
see?
Yeah.
And so this old fellow there, that God, he had a lot of money and owned half a dozen farms, and he bought it. And he wanted me to go up there and look and see if I couldn't find some water. Well, I went up there and went around and around, and geez, and I didn't find any. Finally, I come right back and come right along there, right side of the barn. Right where it would be an ideal place for a well, anyway.
Yeah.
You know. By Jesus, she went right down, and boy, she had a pull on it there to twist the bark right off in your hand. Well, I said, George, if you drill right here, I don't think you got to go very deep to get water.
Yeah.
Because I said, you look here, I said, it's got all of that pull on it, and you didn't have to back up too far for it to start to pull. See?
Oh, yeah.
But when you'd get right over it, that's when she'd pull hard. So I sort of stuck in there. And they come there and they drilled. And they went down 35 feet and hit all kinds of water.
Robert.
And there's some other fellows that didn't have the money to pay for the well, you know. That is, you know, some of them had money enough to pay for it, but some of them were kind of poor. And by Jesus, this old fellow that had all kinds of money and could have afforded to put down a deep well, he didn't have to go so deep.
Yeah. Well, now, but you weren't in the well business.
No, I wasn't in the well business.
That must be a strange feeling, Mr. Eastman.
It is when that starts to go down and you can't stop it.
Must be strange.
Yeah.
And you, that happened a lot of time.
Yeah. I used to find a lot of them.
And some places where they didn't have any water.
No. The Henry store. We was kidding up there in the store one night and one thing and another. Henry says, I wish you could find some water right down in the cellar here at the store. And they were kidding me, you know, about one thing and another around there. And so, Jesus, I went home and got a witch stick, and I come back up there, and they were having a big time about it. By God, right over one corner of the cellar, it went down. So, indeed, we took an inch and a half pipe with a well point on it. And we drove down, I think, to 12 feet. And we got all kinds of water right in the store.
How about that? Well, what'd you do?
Well, we just left that pipe right down in there and put a small pipe right inside of it and hooked a pump onto it. And
oh.
Geez, we had all kinds of water right there in the store.
And that's all there was to it?
Yeah. You've seen them well points, haven't you?
This Eastman, I never have seen a well point.
You haven't seen a well point?
No.
Well, they're a piece of pipe 3 foot long. And it's drilled all full of holes. The holes are about an inch and a half apart, maybe 2 inches apart.
Good size?
Right in rows, right down through, see, and about 2 inches apart the other way. Well, then there's a brass jacket that goes right on over the outside of it, and they have it welded on the bottom and welded on the top, see, and then welded right down the middle on there, that's on there, and that's just like a screen. It's got a lot of little holes in it, see.
Yeah.
Well, you take and then the point of it down here has got a malleable iron point on, see, that's it's riveted right onto that pipe. Come down there to a point about 6 inches long.
Yeah.
Well, you take and drive that right down there. We take and cut the pipe in 4 to 5 foot lengths. And then you have what they call a drive coupling. It's a heavier coupling than a common coupling.
Yeah.
And you drive it there, and then every little while you keep it turning that pipe with a pipe wrench, see? so as to keep that joint tight. See, that's the main idea, to keep turning it right in there and driving it right down.
Yeah.
And if you don't hit too many stones,
yeah.
Because up there's a lot of gravel stones there, you know. But if you don't hit too many of them, it don't take long to drive one of them pipes down there like that.
Yeah. But the gravel stones will be pretty good size.
Well, some of them are.
Yeah.
Anywhere from marbles up to a foot.
Yeah. If you hit a foot one, it'll stop you.
Yeah. Because you hit a foot one there, and it'll double your pipe off, see?
Oh, yeah.
And some of them, you know, they call them hard heads. Boy, they're harder than blazes. But if you take a good stone mason,
yeah.
He split them, and when you split them, they're generally all sparkly inside. Some of them are gray, and some are brown. And I know I've split a lot of them for a fella, and they laid up a fireplace out of it. And geez, boy, that was a pretty one.
Mm-hmm.
All them sparkly stones in there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Let me have that a minute. I forgot to look for some.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you make a fireplace out of that, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
Well, I declare.
Some of them sparkle just like silver, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Now, you see, I missed all that, Mr. Eastman.
I'll bet you got them hard headstones up there where you come from.
All we had up there was red clay.
Red clay?
Yes, sir. We didn't have any stone ones.
No shale?
No, sir. The only stones we had was what they hauled in and put on the railroad bed.
Yeah?
That little gravel stuff.
Yeah.
That was that river gravel. There wasn't any stones there. You walked along there and you didn't find anything to throw. The only thing you could throw was a corn cob or something like that.
We had Black River bottomland.
Yeah.
And I never thought that you could grow anything in land that wasn't black.
Yeah.
That's sand. I just still don't understand how anything grows, even weeds.
Well, now that red clay, you know, would grow sweet potatoes.
Yeah.
They'd grow in that.
Well, same way up here in Georgia, you know.
That's right. Yeah. Except this red clay in Georgia, a lot of that's rich, and this wasn't.
Yeah.
No, sir, one of the biggest hills of potatoes I ever saw was up there at Faye Sisters. They had a sort of a half a block there, and it'd go down there at the corner, and it sort of mounded up like that. And what happened was, you see, they couldn't plow it. It was just solid clay.
Yeah.
And I forget what the excuse of it was, but we put some sweet potatoes down there one time, and there's one or two of them right there in that hard clay.
Yeah.
And they made more than most sweet potatoes I ever saw.
I've forgotten that.
Yes, sir. And you just wouldn't think a sweet potato or anything else could grow there. Yes, sir. I know a sweet potato must like to have something hard to push against.
To push against.
Because it sure doesn't like this soft ground here in Florida, this sandy ground.
Well, we didn't raise any sweet potatoes up there in New York. They used to raise a pile of white potatoes, Irish potatoes.
Oh, did you? Yeah. That was rich country at one time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Alfalfa.
Well, when I was a young lad and they first started planting alfalfa, alfalfa would grow up higher than a horse's back.
Yeah, that's in it.
But now, you know, Jesus, if you get it up that high, you got a good crop.
Yeah.
It took the lime all out of the soil.
Yeah,
see?
Something taken out.
You've got to put lime on the soil if you're going to grow alfalfa.
It has to have lime.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, lime's right costly.
Well,
they put it in down here. Of course, up there it'll stay longer.
Well, up there, the lime up there is different. They grind up that limestone rock.
Yeah.
And see, and that limestone rock is gray.
Yeah.
And it's hard. And then when they grind it, you know, it goes through them crushers. And them crushers have got them big, heavy iron jaws. you know, and they grow about like that, see? And they just keep it coming like that, see?
Yeah.
And as the stone goes in there, it keeps it breaking off and dropping down, see?
Yeah.
Come down to that bottom down there. Well, then all that gets down in here, it goes through a smaller crusher.
Yeah.
See, well, then it goes up into the, this is what they call the screens. Well, the screens up there, they've got, well, the big holes are about like that. They're 4 inches across.
Yeah.
And then from that size on down to the dust down there, the dust is regular little bit of a screen.
While we're sitting here
with
the door closed.
As that stone goes up in there, well, your dust comes out first. You have that fine screen, see? Well, then there's the next size there is about an eighth inch, and then there's a quarter inch, see, and then a half inch, and then inch, there ain't no three quarters, it goes from half to inch, and then there's inch and a half, and then the big stone. You see, and it goes in there, and it's all graded. It goes right down into them bins.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know that.
We used to take that, what they call the dust up there, and you take the second grade there, that's a quarter inch, makes great cement.
Yeah.
And I used to buy that, that lime, that dust up there, they'd bag it. They put that all in bags. You could buy it loose, but the most of them had it in bags.
Mm-hmm.
I used to buy a pile of it in bags to mix with mortar for laying blocks.
Oh.
Laying blocks and brick.
Yeah. You had to lay a lot of them.
Yeah. I've laid a lot of blocks in my lifetime.
Well, how'd you happen to be laying blocks, Mr. Eastman?
Well, we'd take a job building a barn or building a house, and we had to lay so many blocks.
Yeah. And you'd do it.
Yeah. I always worked right along with the men, no matter what they done.
Yeah.
I never asked a man to do something that I couldn't do, too.
Is that right? Is that right? Well, now laying block comes pretty high now.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus, they get real money for laying blocks now.
Yeah. I remember, Mr. Eastman, I remember when bricklayers, they were getting $1 an hour. And everybody thought that was high pay.
Yeah, yeah.
That was
high pay.
Yeah. That was about the time the Ford people came out with that $5 a day wage. And that was considered way up there.
Oh, yeah.
So them bricklayers was making money, wasn't they?
They always have. The bricklayers and the plasterers.
Yeah. Oh, them plasterers used to almost put it up there thick like cement, Mr.
Yeah.
Eastman. They put it up there so heavy, you know, you couldn't break it with a hammer. I'm telling you, they put it up that estate, didn't they? Yes, sir. Well, I'll tell you.
Goblin's mending right smart?
Oh, I think she's going to come all right.
She don't have as much trouble with that.
Not so much now if she keeps down on her eating, but if she goes to eating more, I don't know what is going to happen.
Well, do you think she'll...
I don't know.
She'll get hungry one of these days?
She always was. She's scared now.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, when you had to pay for the consequences and for eating, and pretty soon it starts hurting, I think that'll make me hold up on it.
Well, if she knows just what it's going to do if she gets to eating too much.
Yeah, she has to lose more than that 14 pounds.
Yeah. Well, she's losing a little all the time.
What does she like to eat in particular? She think anything in particular?
No, I don't know.
She likes steak.
Yeah.
And she can't have steak?
Well, it's broiled. But it tickled her, you know. Jesus used to take them steaks, you know, like that.
Yeah.
And boy, she'd eat a whole steak, see?
Yeah.
Well, now, but God, she'd eat a little piece just about like that.
Yeah. You mean she'd eat a great big piece
of
steak?
Oh, God. Well, she'd eat steak, I'll tell you. Yeah.
The most I ever ate in a piece of meat, Mr. Eason, was about that big.
I'm telling you, see, more things happen to him than anybody
I
know.
I know it.
That's all sorts of things.
Yeah.
See, that's a piece of meat, Mr. Eason. You didn't buy that at the store. That's the reason you bought it.
By a quarter.
Well, that was mighty good meat you brought up here.
That was nice.
Yeah,
was
we
nice.
Made some of that beef was the stew, but then we cooked the other as a steak. That's nice.
Mr. Eastman, where do you have your hair cut?
Well, Jesus, I ain't had it. Got to get it cut. I used to get it cut. Down in Ocala there, but I don't know, the last two or three years, Evelyn's been cutting it with the clippers there, see?
Oh, I see. Well, let me tell you, I told you that. Did I tell you that? I finally got down there at McIntosh to that barber.
Yeah.
Well, sir.
Yawn?
Yes. I didn't know what I was missing.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what he does, Mr. Eastman. He's a nice fella. He chats all the time, you know, and he don't make you feel like a perfect stranger. You know, in the Army, we used to get good haircuts, and they would take about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
They wouldn't do all this messing around, you see, and all that trimming and all like that. And if they gouged it a little bit, they didn't worry about that. I wouldn't worry about it. He's almost like that. He gave me one of the best haircuts I ever had.
Yeah.
And it took him about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And he got the thing I like. He's got them sinning scissors.
Yeah.
He just puts that through there, you see. And you just feel all that extra stuff coming
well,
out.
Geez, you know, when I was young, they used to use them thinning shears on my hair.
Yeah.
But, you know, the first thing I knew, I didn't have any to use the thinning shears on.
You don't need it now?
No.
You still have...
You just need the comb and the scissors.
Well, you're lucky if Eastman can do your hair, then you don't have to fool with it.
Yeah, well, she got a regular set, you know, clippers and...
That's good.
Everything else, too.
Yeah. Well, I recommend him. And furthermore, he don't charge as much as some of them.
He don't, huh? Mm-hmm.
He charged me $2.
Yeah.
Well, that's cheap now.
Yeah.
But then for 10 minutes worth.
Well, was it shaving a haircut? 6 bits?
Yeah.
Shaving a haircut? 2 bits or 6 bits or whatever.
Yeah.
They don't do any shaving in the barber shop anymore.
No. I guess they would shave you if you asked for it.
God, I don't know. I've been told that they wouldn't. I don't know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Too much trouble?
Well, they're not equipped for it anymore.
Nobody asked for it.
Yeah.
Electric razors and safety razors.
Put it out of business.
They could give you a safety razor and tell you to step over that in the corner and do it yourself.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. You know old man, you know Otis's daddy lives across the street from you?
Yeah.
You ever see him?
Yeah. Not every day.
You ever talk to him?
Well, yeah, when I have time, I go over and see him once in a while.
Yeah.
He's kind of sickly, you know. He's got emphysema to beat all.
Oh, has he? Oh, that's too bad.
Oh, God, he has spells come on to him in the middle of the night, and they have to get up and get that machine going.
Oh, really?
He's got a machine?
Yeah. You know, I forget what they call them there, but they're...
Well, he lived out there in the woods, you know, out there at Shiloh, and had a herd of cattle, and beautiful place. I guess that's the reason he sold out. He wasn't able to keep it.
Yeah.
He lives right down there close to you.
Right across the road.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, he bought one of my bulls.
Yeah?
Bull that I raised.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, Mr. Eastman, I wouldn't recommend that anymore. I thought I could get away with it. But you take some of these strains, you know. You know, so much depends on the bull.
Yeah.
And if I were doing it over again, I simply would use that artificial.
You wouldn't use the artificial?
I would.
Oh, you would?
I would, because you get such some of the fine bulls, you see. And you can't match it. I would certainly do it. And I'm sorry I didn't ever get started on that.
I don't know whether I ought to tell you this or not, but I will. They had one of them fellas up, he lived in our town up there, that done that artificial insemination, see?
Yeah.
Well, every night, when the mail come in there at 6 o'clock, he was always up there to get his bottle of whatever they sent him, see, whatever he had ordered that they'd send to him. He was up there one night, and this old biddy was in there. She'd always been quite a gal. And this other fellow, this undertaker, he was in there, and he'd always been quite a boy, too. And there was, 15 or 20 of them in there waiting for the mail. It seemed they always come in there every night like that. He was waiting for that, you know, and finally this undertaker, he pipes up and he says, I wonder if that's the way that Charlie inseminates his wife. But this old biddy who stood there, and she says, well, maybe this newfangled stuff is all right, but she says, I still enjoy the old-fashioned way. Jesus, you know, that fella reached over and he grabbed that bottle of stuff and Jesus, he went out of there like a shot. Hey, God help he went out of there.
That's too much for him, huh?
Yeah, Jesus. He went out of there to be all.
Something was coming.
You know, There's always a lot of sour notes in life, but if you look at it right, there's always a funny side.
Yes.
Well, how's the new restaurant people getting along this evening?
How's the restaurant down there?
Yeah.
Well, the same fellas in there, you know, that woman that was going to buy it didn't buy it.
Oh,
they had it up for sale?
Yes, they had a woman there from St. Petersburg that was going to buy it. And Jesus, it was raining one day and the water pump there by the restaurant quit. Well, Eddie Seiler called me and wanted to know if I'd go over and get that pump going. Well, I went over and I had quite a time getting it going. But when I got it going, it was pumping mud. Jesus, it's just like a thick gravy, you know, come out of there. So I went in and I got a hold of her and told her I wanted her to see what that pump was doing. So she came out where she said, "Where is it getting all of that mud from?" Well, I said, "It's coming right out of that well. That's the only place it can come from." Well, she says, "You know, we're trying this out to see about buying it. But," she says, "the way things are looking," she says, "I don't think we're going to buy it." She says, "Just step into the kitchen." Well, I says, I was in there. The goddamn water was running right down through the electric light fixture there. A stream pretty near as big as a lead pencil. And they had a big pan sitting on the floor. Geez, it was just about that square and about that high, and it was about half full of water. And she said, "Look at how that roof is leaking."
Well, of all things.
But you know, that roof, it had one roof on there. Well, then it got leaking a little. So Barnard's nephew come down from Georgia, and he put on another roof over the top of it. Well, he didn't do a half a job.
Oh.
So that this new roof might leak up here somewhere, and to get down between the two and come down, it might come clear down here before to find a place to get down through, see? Well, you might look this all over here and not find a spot, and then after a while, you'd find a spot up here where it was leaking, and you put some black dope on it, and that'd fix it. And maybe the next four or five rains, it wouldn't leak at all. Well, then maybe there'd be a spot up here open up somewhere, and that would work along down, and get clear down here, and might leak in this same hole. See? And you see, he put that, what they call a half lap, roofing on. Well, when you put that on, you're supposed to have this starter strip. Well, you take and put the cement right on your roof, you put that starter strip on and nail it. See? Well, then you put some more dope right onto that starter strip and then up on here 18 inches, see, so that your 3 foot roll would come up there. And this down here, with the stickum on here, would just hold this bottom on, and you nail this up here. Well, then you come right up here with your second dope on there, and you come up here, and here's your the edge of where your slate is on it here. Well, then you come down to that, and you go up on this other piece, and you put that dope onto the old roof, see? So that it sticks, make it solid. Well, he didn't do that. All he done, he took and put this strip on here, and he put a little stickum on here. See, he didn't put nothing up here, just took and nailed it. Well, then you see that's all loose under there. Well, then you see the next one, he put the little stickum on here, and then put this roll on here, and nailed it up here. You see, and this is just stuck on here. So that there's nothing to hold the new roof to the old roof. Only them nails are stuck in there.
Yeah.
And the water would get down underneath it there, and then it'd come right down.
So she didn't buy it?
Huh?
The lady didn't buy it?
No. She told me, she said, "You know that preacher? Says he looked you right in the eye. And then he can't tell the truth."
He probably don't know enough to tell the truth.
She says he'll look you right in the eye, and then he can't tell you the truth.
Mr. Eastman, why did they want it in the first place?
Money.
Well, they knew that.
They figured that they were going to sell it and make a big thing on it.
Oh. They were just going to keep it long enough to turn it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And they got caught with it.
Yeah. But you know, they ain't got no money in the thing.
No.
Barnard's the one that still got the money in it.
Oh.
You see, that's the reason that I don't put the Board of Health onto them.
Yeah.
If it was them, if Barnard had his money out of there, I'd have that place locked up in an hour.
That much, yeah.
Because the Board of Health wouldn't let them operate, not if they knew just the circumstances there.
Yeah. And Barnard not likely to get his money out of it.
Well, the contract that Barnard has got with them, they can't sell that place only for cash. When they sell that place, they've got to pay Barnard his money.
Yeah.
See? And then until they sell it, well, Barnard has got the money in there.
Yeah. And selling it for cash may be
hard
to do.
You know, Barnard made kind of a damn fool out of it. He sold it to them, and they were supposed to pay him $25,000. Well, they didn't have the money, so Barnard turns around and gives them $20,000 for that place back. The house where he lives in, see? So, hell, all they got is $5,000 in that place.
Of all things.
See, and of course they have to pay Barnard every month so much on it.
Well, they can't lose.
But Barnard was right in the shape where he just simply had to get out from under it.
Yeah. He took it on as long as he could.
Because he's the fellow says he's here and that's all.
Yeah.
And she ain't able to do it. She's sick too.
Whatever become of that?